Hello, it's me, Venny, from Heavy Matters, and it is a beautiful Wednesday evening in Edinburgh, and it is my pleasure to be joined by Alan, who is from a fellow Edinburgh band, June. And we last spoke on the show with Victor and Dudley back in April 2021. Just on the eve of the release of Etymonienka. And now it's great to speak to you, Alan, on the eve of the follow-up album.
Yeah, no, thanks. Lovely to be here. Great to chat to you. And yeah, we're super excited to get this new one out. It's not been that long since we recorded it, to be honest. It was sort of November when we kind of finished things up, December-ish when we got it mastered. And yeah, it's coming out on the 19th, which is that's Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So yeah, super excited to get out into the world and yeah, see what folks think of it.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, how has it been with firstly like the reaction to Etymonienka, which I mean without putting words in your mouth, or it seemed to me that it was a big step up. And it brought certainly a spotlight onto the band. Was that your impression? And how's it been kind of following that up with this album?
No, you're right enough, Vinny. With Asheran, when we did that, it did pretty well. We put it out through Wasted State, and it did well. It got us noticed. Got us a gig in Las Vegas at Cycle Las Vegas, which was amazing. But yeah, the normal touring is definitely a step up, because when we were just touring normally as ourselves, we were doing little tours of Ireland and you know, playing to like five people, three people, that sort of stuff. Whereas with Etymon, when we started the touring with that, yeah, it's a different story entirely. It's helped us get on a much bigger stages. Like Arctangent, we've managed to do that twice, which is a blessing really, because that's basically home. You know what I mean? It's exactly the same. We're part of, and all the bands in it are just fantastic as well. And I mean, we did much Hellfest last year in Resurrection, and even the last year around about this time, we just finished our tour with Pine, our UK tour with Pine, and that was just, for me, it was just incredible. You know, we play a gig and I don't really expect, I'm surprised when people turn up basically. So when we play a gig and it's like mostly stowed out, you're like, wow. How did this happen? You know, so yeah, things are just slowly but surely gathering momentum, I think. But yeah, Etymon was a big step up, and especially playing live, just the attention that we got was just fantastic, really. Quite unexpected.
Yeah, well, I think you've been very modest, but certainly, I think coming off the back of that and the increase in exposure and everything else, what was your approach like coming in to record the latest record?
Okay. We took quite a different approach, really, because the whole recording process was quite different as well. I'll start with the writing process first. So it was myself, Dudley and Victor that wrote the sort of bulk of the record, the main music of the record, over maybe the course of like about a year or something like that. And that was just lots of jams. Lots of jam sessions. I'm a wee bit different from Victor and Dudley, whereas I'm quite happy to sit in front of a laptop with my guitar and bass and just write a couple of tunes and some riffs and put them together. So there was that aspect to it as well. So it took a wee while. And when we jam, we like to kind of spend a long time on one riff or two riffs, just putting them together. And then when we write our songs, you know, our songs are pretty long. So they could take a bit of time and knit each riff together. And you're maybe playing one riff here, taking a riff from another song, taking a riff from another song. Does that work? Well, that doesn't work. Take that riff from that song. That's okay. Then, you know, but it takes a long time to put these songs together. And that's one of the things we were kind of looking for in this record as well, get a bit more brevity in some of them. Still kind of have the same journey in a song, but not over a 9-10 minute span, you know. So we've got a couple of, they're not pop songs by any means, but they're a little bit shorter. You know, you're looking at maybe 5-6 minutes as opposed to 10. So that was the kind of approach to it. And that's great fun. It's one of my favourite parts. It's just the creative process going into the whole record. But recording it was quite different, because with Etymon, that was done in a studio. That was done in a chamber studio in Edinburgh with a friend and producer, Graham. And he did that this time as well, but he sold his studio but he'd kept a lot of his gear. So he had a mobile studio. So what we did was, there's a place in the outskirts of Edinburgh called Camo, and there's this sort of, it's basically an old medieval tower, but it's got a house built onto the side of it. So we rented this whole thing out and did a week's pre-production in there. We set all the gear up in the tower because it just had this amazing acoustic sound to it. The drums sounded fantastic in it. And the guitars were, we had a ridiculous amount of guitar amps, which we could just crank as loud as we wanted and not annoy anybody. So basically, Graham had set up his remote studio onto the side of that, and we could just play all day, really. And that was, we did a week's pre-production there, and then we went back and had 3 weeks to actually record the full album, which was just a wonderful experience, really, I've got to be honest, because we could stay there. We're basically totally absorbed in the whole process. And it was just, yeah, it's just an amazing experience. We're just really, really fortunate to be able to do it. And it's quite a lot of thanks goes to Creative Scotland, as well as Metal Blade. Creative Scotland helped fund a good deal of that. So we're really, really fortunate that they did that for us. Oh, you're frozen. Are you still there? You're frozen. Hello, Benny.
Sorry, Alan, you cut out a little bit. I think you were just giving some.
Yeah,
Sorry,
you
Alan,
froze
it might
there,
be
eh?
on my side, it might be on yours. I think you were just giving some props to Creative
Oh, that's cool.
Scotland there.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, they helped a lot with funding for this record. So, yeah, a lot of props to them. And obviously Metal Blade as well for helping out too, because they're putting the record out. So, yeah, doing a good job.
Yeah, and I mean, I was going to ask about that, so I might jump in just now. So, correct me if I'm wrong, but is it right that Etamon was also on Metal Blade, and so is Vorokind
Yeah.
and Vorokind, and I mean, for heavy bands like Metal Blade is a huge deal. And has it felt like for the last few records you have felt their backing and the weight behind you as such a big record label?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're, yeah, really fortunately, we look at the bands on that label. You've got Cannibal Corpse and Behemoth, and well, in a more reverse sort of neck of the woods, you've got Cult of Luna. And If These Truths Could Talk and those type of bands. So yeah, even just being on the label, this is a different world altogether. I'm just really fortunate to be on their roster, you know. But yeah, this time around I think we're maybe getting a bit more push than we did the first time around. As I don't know, as you'd expect maybe. But yeah, when we're doing more media, there's a whole lot more stuff going on, but they're good. They're really good.
That's great. It's great to hear. And I mean, I'm very intrigued to hear about that recording experience. Like, in a way, it sounds like a big stone tower might sound really bad to record in, but you're saying it, the acoustics are really good in there.
Acoustics were tremendous. It was mainly for the drums because we wanted a kind of really nice acoustic drum sound, and that's what Dudley was chasing. And yeah, him and Graham managed to get a great sound because Graham, our producer, was also a drummer too. So they
Okay.
work really well together. Clash heads now and again, as you'd expect. But got on really well and got a great drum sound. Guitar wise, we played this at that high a volume. I'm not so sure it really mattered where they were, but it was nice to have that sort of space that you could just make as much noise as you wanted. The only thing is, it's right next to Ingolstadt and the airport, but
Yeah,
yeah, we're that loud, you know what I mean? It didn't really make any
drowning
difference.
out the jets, that's nice.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah. But yeah, no, the sound in there was great. Really
And
good.
was that something that Graham had kind of checked out before? Was that his first time and you were just like, let's give it a go and see? And
Well, the band used to practice there years ago. It's actually Dudley's uncle used to own it and he sold it. So they knew the
right.
sort of what it would be like sound-wise already. And Graham hadn't been there to record anything, but we did a little recce beforehand just to make sure it was up to snuff for recording. And just went in, hit some snare drums because that's basically the loudest instrument you're going to get to see what it sounded like. And yeah, he was really happy with it. So yeah, all good. So I went ahead and yeah, again, just seems like a long time ago, but it's not actually that long. It's September, but yeah, just a great memory.
Yeah, and I mean, presumably you went back to Graham because you got on so well, and because you achieved such a great sound in terms of trying to capture what June sound like. I mean, I think the last record sounded so warm, and it kind of you have the technicality clearly as a band, but you also have that warmth. It's not cold technicality, and I think Graham brought that out really well on the last record. And was that something you were hoping to achieve again with this record?
Yeah, I mean, Graham is a friend as well as a producer, and he's a guy that we really trust. We value his opinion, and he was involved in, I would say, he's involved in the creative process a little bit as well. When we were doing the pre-production, obviously we'd run the songs by him, and he'd listen to them going, all right, well, but this, so he made a few suggestions as well that made it onto the record. So from that perspective, he's really good to have around, and obviously he's got a fantastic ear as well. Sound wise, with this one, we wanted it to be a bit raw, a little bit heavier, and a bit more live sounding, which I think he's managed to get. Because to me, they all sound quite different, the records that we've done, and this one's probably sound wise the one I'm happiest with, because it's the rawest sort of, best representation, I think, of our live sound, and he's managed to capture it pretty well. And obviously, he mixed it as well, so which was an interesting process as well, because we were quite pernickety, you might say. So,
Yeah, I think, I mean, I listened back to our interview that we did with the guys before the release of the last album, and I think they said something similar last time as well, that they were quite pernickety. So,
yeah, I think Graham knows what to expect, but sometimes I don't think he realizes what he's getting himself into, even though he's done it before, but he just is a sucker for punishment. So yeah, I think we almost did his head in, or maybe even I think we did his head in, but that's all right.
but what you've come up with is, I mean, I've had the record now for a couple of weeks, so I've had a really good chance. I was on holiday last week in Spain, and so I got a really
Nice.
good chance just to live with the record, which for you guys and your band, it's just so important to have that time to live with it. And I'm blown away with how you've managed to stay at the level. Do you know, everyone was really taken aback by last record. There were hints with Asharan, but everyone was blown away. But I think it's such a common thing in music in general, in heavy music. You know, you hear these kind of seminal albums, and then you know the next album often struggles to kind of reach to similar heights, whereas But I think you guys have done such a great job with it. I mean, the single that you released, you might correct me if I'm wrong with the pronunciation, as with a lot of the things regarding your band, but Pleroma,
Pleroma,
Pleroma.
Pleroma.
Yeah, I mean, that track is a single. It's like you say, I mean, it's 6 minutes long. It's not a pop song, but it feels very immediate and it's very accessible. And I think it's something that I think some of the best, what I would call progressive bands, people like Tesseract, people like Mastodon, who are able to write sprawling, epic, progressive tracks, but are also able to concatenate those down and have just as many ideas, but make it into a more succinct and accessible package. For me, that track, you've absolutely nailed, and I can imagine you guys are super happy with that.
Yeah, man. Cheers. Well, thanks very much. I'm glad you like it. Yeah, that one came out of a jam. Victor had the intro and the outro kind of worked out, but the main guts of it as a jam that we had, and it was always like, it's quite different. Is it a bit poppy? Is it a bit too different? It's like, you know what? It doesn't matter. It sounds good and it feels good, so we're going for it. And then, what we do when we're recording is we always do the lyrics and the vocals last. So we've got all these instrumental tracks done, and we're listening to that. And the boys did all the vocals and the keys at Graham's house after we'd actually done all the recording. Now, Graham lives on a farm outside near Haddington. So again, you can make as much noise as you want and scream your lungs out. So we went and listened to that, and I listened to the vocals and going, sounds great. It's kind of. Is it too nice? No, it's good. It's good. We'll go for it. You know what I mean? So, and it's something different for us as well. And it keeps us excited. So, Yeah, no, we're really pleased with that one. I mean, I'll have all the songs on it, to be honest, but yeah, no, it's probably the most accessible song we've ever done, for
Yeah,
sure, I think.
and I imagine that's, do you think that, without any spoilers, do you think that's going to make it into your live sets? I can imagine that coming over really well.
Yeah, no, that's in there, definitely. In fact, I think we're playing, I can tell you what we're doing. We're playing most of that album, apart from the first song, "Summer Blasphemia," and we're going to keep a couple of Etamon songs in there as well. But the good thing is, when we've got some shorter songs, we can now kind of pick and choose and move things around in the set, so we're not stuck to, if you're doing a festival or a support slot, you've got four or five songs. Now we can maybe do six
Yeah,
or seven.
it's a treat. I mean, at least with like proper festivals like Arctangent, I've seen you guys play there, and you get a proper slot there, and then you can put together a proper set list. But
Aye.
yeah, and my memory from seeing you guys a couple of times on the last cycle is that you were very heavy on the new album last time. And I presume, just given the quality of the latest release, you're going to go same again from the sounds of it.
Yeah, totally. Aye. But we'll keep a couple of oldies in there that we enjoy playing. So we'll keep Court of the Matriarch and SI-14 in there,
That's
just
cool.
to that.
That's cool, man. And just on that note, you've got some dates coming up. I kind of know that because I'm coming to see you in Edinburgh, but do you want to talk a little bit about some of the stuff you've got happening off the back?
Aye, totally. Yeah, we've got a ton of stuff. I've got it written down because I can never remember. Right, so on the 23rd, we start a UK tour. That starts in Newcastle. And we're playing some places we've never really done before, like Norwich. I've not done Newcastle before, and down to Brighton. And we're taking a band called Sleemo out with us, who are a kind of power trio, sort of noise rock almost kind of type thing. They're class, like, they're really good. Then we come back from that, and then we go for a week with Conjurer in Europe, and that includes a Dunk Fest, which I'm really looking forward to. It's a festival that a lot of my favourite bands have played, so I'm well aware of it and its quality, so I'm really excited to play that. And then we'll come back, do Edinburgh. That's a release show, at least sort of party. And then we go back to Europe, and then I don't do the first 10 dates. We've got our friend Alex who replaces me on the bass when I can't do stuff. And then I'm joining again in Germany. So we've got some dates in Germany, Austria, Hungary, and then we're doing Copenhagen as well, which should be pretty cool. And Motorkultur in France, so I've got a few festivals as well. And what's the other one? The Polish Mystic Festival in Poland as
Wow.
well.
You're going to be busy boys.
Yeah, I mean, that's all my work holidays done. So,
Yeah, I can imagine. I
yeah.
mean, there's definite challenges there. I mean, my memory from speaking to you guys before was that actually, whilst being, I know Victor's kind of French as well, a little bit, but
Yeah.
being predominantly a British band, you'd expect to have, the British gigs would be your bread and butter, and then going to Europe would be a bit more of an uncertain thing in terms of attendances. But I understand from speaking to you guys before that actually it's quite the opposite, and that you've always been very well followed in Europe.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's kind of surprising. It's changing a wee bit. Like I was saying with that Pine tour we did last year, that was really well attended. So that I was really, really pleased with that. I was blown away, actually. So I think from that perspective, it's getting better. We'll see what happens next week when we go out. You never know. Maybe totally dead. But
And going out with Pine, you weren't at all tempted to get Joe Clayton doing any work for the, or had you already laid it down by then, or?
Well, it's always going to be Graham that was doing
Okay.
it.
But I mean,
There's always
Joe
going
is becoming a bit of a in-demand guy now, isn't he, with his
to
production, and he's doing
he
really
is.
well.
He is. He's class, like. He's a lovely, lovely guy as well.
Yeah.
Super talented. And he's got his own record label starting up as well, I believe. So that's pretty cool. In fact, I don't know. I was going to say something, but I'm not 100% sure on it, so I'm not going to say it.
Sure. Yeah, no, he seems a super nice guy as well, and yeah, it's good to see that he's kind of in demand. Just, I mean, I've only got one more question that's kind of written down. I don't, I know, kind of, in essence, the band is called Dune, and a lot of the songs and the themes have come out of the book and everything else. Is that still something that a lot of your contemporary work comes out of, or is it, have you
It's
moved away from that, or
all sci-fi, but it's all its own universe. It's not really, none of it's really to do with Dune. It's just their name came from Dune.
okay, fair enough.
And I can see where you get that from, because we're called Dune and the website's spelled with Arrakis. So yeah. So that's where you'd make that link. But it's all its own universe.
Fine. Okay. So it's kind of a sci-fi and unrelated, essentially. I mean, the reason I was going to ask is, since I last spoke to you guys, obviously the films have come out, and I was just wondering what you guys made of it all, being presumably big fans of the books and everything else.
Yeah, totally. Years ago, the first Dune movie, the 1984 David Lynch one, was my favorite movie for a long, long time. And then I watched it again, not that long ago, and I was like, yeah, it's okay. It's all the time, but it's not aged that well. But yeah, but no, sorry, the new ones are class. Yeah, the first one was pretty slow moving, but I still really enjoyed it. And yeah, I went to the cinema to see the other one as well, the newest one, and that's class as well. So yeah. Fantastic films, and there's going to be more by the look of it.
I mean, the first one in particular, I thought was amazing, incredible. But I mean, he's done a good job with him. He probably is the best producer for what it's quite sensitive subject matter. Like, he's done a great job with it, I think.
No, yeah, it's like a couple of wee changes here and there, but that's all right, we'll let him off. But no, he's done a phenomenal job. So we'll see what he does
Good
next.
stuff, Alan. Well, thanks very much for talking to me, man.
Oh,
So,
cheers, man.
Void Kind is out in 2 days' time as we speak tonight. So that's on the 19th of April. It's out on Metal Blade, and I cannot recommend you all to go and listen to it enough, and to obviously catch Dune. For those of you who haven't seen them already, they're quite a prospect live. So, yes, I'd encourage you all to do that. Alan, thanks again, man.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thanks, Vinny. And we'll hopefully catch up at the Edinburgh show.
I'll try and bump into you guys there.
Yeah, no worries. We'll be there. No
Cheers, man. All right, thanks
worries, man.
again.
Cheers,
Cheers.
Vinny.